you know, the last few weeks, we're really kind of seeing what it's like to be the real deal. Amen. And, you know, God's pointing out some things about how we need to be as a church and how we need to treat one another and honor and different things like that. And, you know, that might weed the garden a little bit. Sure. Amen. It might weed the garden. Today's message might weed the garden a little bit. But I know this, that for the garden to grow, there needs to be weeding. Now, hopefully we don't have any weeds to pull. Amen. Praise God. So let's just get into the word. Father, we love you this morning. We're so thankful, so grateful for what you have done for us, what you have given to us, all that you have provided. Jesus, where would we be without you? We thank you for your precious word. You didn't have to leave us the word, but you did because you don't want us to stumble, because you don't want us to trip and fall, because you want to lead us into right things. So, Father, we glorify you and magnify you and bless you this morning. And, Father, even as I pray right now, you're giving me direction for this service. And I thank you, Holy Ghost, for speaking to hearts here this morning. I thank you that bullseyes will be hit. And the people in the seats will say, how did he know to say that? How did he know that I needed to hear that? Well, I didn't, but God, you did. And you're wonderful and kind, and this is how you do things. This is mail time, and so we thank you for our delivery this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, Deuteronomy 30 and verse 19 says this, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set, talking about God, I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing, therefore, choose life that both thou, that you and your seed may live. Praise God. Today's message really is so good for everybody's level that they're at. Whether you're just starting out, this is imperative to know. Whether you've been at it for a while, sometimes you can get stuck in a rut. If you're going through tests and trials, it's imperative to know this. The Bible says here that God is testifying that what he does is he sets before you the opportunity to be blessed. Amen? Amen? I said the opportunity to be blessed. God does not force you into his blessing. God does not force you into life. God does not force you into all the good things that he has for you. But he sets it before you and says, I want you to choose. Which tells me that God will let us live in cursing and live in sickness, live in mental and emotional torment, live in poverty and lack if we so choose to. But he says, I've laid it out for you. Choose the right thing, praise God. But what I want you to see and where we're going today is whether or not blessing, cursing, life or death is the mark of your life. It's up to the choices that you make.
That's good. Amen.
Yeah. And the reason I said it's important for everybody to recognize this is because there is an attack on Christianity of a doctrine of the devil called the grace movement. And I'm going to explain what that is in a second to fill everybody in. And churches all over America are springing up by the hundreds and the thousands because of this grace message. In fact, I could name ministers that most of you probably would recognize who are preaching to thousands of people this doctrine of the devil, and it's putting people into a ditch in Christianity. And I'll give you an example of that in a second. I had my truck in the shop not too long ago. I had some work, it was for an oil change and a tire rotation, but they found something that they had to do something with the brakes and they needed to keep it there longer. And I didn't want to wait for it, so they offer a service at Schultz in Jamestown where they have a shuttle vehicle that will take me home and pick me up. And I took advantage of it. Well, I had done it before, and the same driver that took me home this time took me home the first time I used it. And he was kind of a talker, so when I, you know, just like to talk the whole way. And so we got to know each other a little bit, and he found out I was a minister. And so the second time he brought me home, he said, well, man, you look familiar. And I said, yeah, I'm told my name or whatever. And he said, oh, you're the pastor. I said, yeah. And I said, how are things going? Now, in the previous conversation I had with him, I knew the church that he went to. I know exactly what he believes. I know exactly what he doesn't believe. And he said, well, things aren't going too good. You know, my wife's dealing with this sickness. I'm dealing with this. My kids are dealing with this. He said, my car just got repossessed. How many of you, that's not blessing? He said, my car just got repossessed. And he said, but God's going to turn it around. Now, when you hear that, you might think, well, man, that's the right thing to say. Well, it is the right thing to say, except when he said it, the Holy Spirit up from my heart said, no, he won't. He said, God's going to turn around. And the Holy Spirit to me said, no, he won't. Well, I knew what the Holy Ghost was endeavoring to get over to me, because it is the right thing to say that God's going to do it. God's going to turn it around if we give God our cooperation to do so. But see, his standpoint was that I'm going to sit back and I'm going to be in this dead church that's teaching me that God's not a healer, that God's not a blesser. You see, God cannot trump our doubt and unbelief. One time I got a blue card from somebody, I don't even remember who it was, asking me to pray for somebody's healing that went to a different church. And I knew what church they went to. And I looked at the card and I could not get the words out to pray, because I knew that it would hit the ceiling and come right back down. See, I can't pray and believe for somebody's healing when they're constantly being taught that God doesn't want to heal you, and that's where their faith is. If their faith is in sickness, that's what they're going to get. Well, this gentleman, and it's sad and unfortunate, and I searched my heart, should I minister to him? The Holy Spirit said, no, it wouldn't do any good. And most of the times it doesn't do any good for people. They're set in their ways, which is crazy, because we should be set in what the Word says. I don't care if the Word upends your ways and mows your grass sideways and pets your fur backwards. I don't care. The Word is our answer. And I knew from the church that he went to and his beliefs that he didn't believe in divine healing. He didn't believe in prosperity. But what he did believe in, which the majority of the church world believes in, is sitting back and just letting God do something. I'll tell you what, God's sitting in heaven waiting for you to do something. Right. He says life and death is up to your choices. Yeah. If you're going to choose to not hear my word and do my word, and not choose to do what I say in the word, and not choose to put yourself in a place that you're hearing the word, it's not my fault, he's saying. He said, I'm giving you the opportunity. Well, I knew that that guy wasn't going to come out of that. And it's the way it is for a lot of people. Now, here he was, a sweet man, born again, going to heaven, just like, I don't know everybody personally in here, but most of us here, are born again, going to heaven. God loves him just as much as he loves any of us. But the difference is he's making wrong choices. He's not choosing the lifestyle of faith in the Word. Now, he might not be doing that on purpose, but that's what religion has done. It sucked him right in. And I said, no, the Holy Spirit said, no, God ain't going to do nothing. Because God says, it's up to you. It's your choice. Praise God. Amen. Jesus said, if you know the truth will set you free. God didn't say, I'm going to do something for you. He said, see, you be careful, because a lot of people will say, Pastor, you're preaching a me gospel and you're pushing God right out of the equation. No, I'm telling you, God's already done it. God's already did his part. Praise God. He's already done his part. Like, the mercy's already been displayed on the cross and through the giving of the word. I'm not saying that, well, it's all about us and what we do. No, we can only do our part because he already did his. Yeah, right. Amen? But he already did his, and so he's waiting for us to do our part. What's our part? Choose right. Choose right. You know, I got that email, and it was interesting, because when I got that email, I got it on a Wednesday night. Well, the Sunday before, I was going to preach that sermon that addressed the very stuff in the email, but then the Lord had me put it off for a week. But what was interesting is that God had me sharing on that before I even got what I got, and we found out through other people that there's some things going on in the church. You know, some things that we talked about, you know, not honoring the pastor, talking behind people's back, gossiping, different things, not coming with a servant's mentality, very needy mindset in the church, and that stuff's going to hurt our one accord. But God dealt with that stuff, and that's what the email came. And then I preached that sermon on Sunday, not because of the email. I had that sermon planned to preach the previous Sunday, but walking down the hall, the Spirit of God said, share something different. So I did. But anyways, in that email, what was said was, when people are struggling, and this is what people say to me all the time, and they get mad at me and take it out on me, and all I'm doing is I'm just FedEx boy. I'm just the mailman delivering the mail, telling you what the word already says. If anybody, get mad at him. He wrote it. Amen. He wrote it. Praise God. And so in that email, it said, you know, I've been believing things and talking about finances for years. And you're going to tell me, Pastor Mike, That the reason it's not working is because I don't tithe, because I don't give offerings, and because I don't speak right. That's what they said. And they don't tithe, don't give, and don't speak right. And they said, you're going to tell me that's why I'm not receiving. And I thought as I read it, no, I'm not going to tell you that. But that's what the Bible's going to say why you're not receiving it. Because you're choosing wrong. Because the Bible says to tithe. The Bible says to give offerings. And the Bible says to speak right. If you choose not to do it, then what God says you can have, don't get mad at the preacher. And don't get mad at God. It's your choice. It's your choice. He'll let you live in disobedience. He'll let you live broke and let you live sick. And there's an epidemic going on in the body of Christ. And the email went on. And what a lot of people say is they talk about the grace of God. Well, the grace of God is a real thing. Go to Ephesians 2 and verse 8. And what they say about the grace of God is they say this, that, well, God's grace through Jesus and the blood of Jesus covers us all. And we can live. And you might think I'm crazy. You'll think I'm crazy because we preach the Bible here. But I'm talking people that have bought hook, line, and sinker with some of these national ministers who have thousands of people's ears. They're telling them the grace has covered it all. You can do and live however you want to because the grace will take care of it. And that is taking the grace of God, which is the middle of the road, and absolutely getting into so far of a ditch, and it's causing people to struggle. It's causing people to go without. Now, what is the grace of God? Well, the grace of God is God's unmerited or unearned favor towards us. And it's true, it exists, amen? Amen. Ephesians 2 and verse 8 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And what people have done is they take verses like that, and they'll say, and they'll point out the tithing, the giving, and the speaking right, and they'll say, Pastor, you're making everything about works and what we do, and the Bible says it's not about works at all. Well, in a measure, there's some truth there, but they're taking it completely out of context. When it says it's not of yourselves, he's saying what enabled you to be able to be born again and to walk into that salvation, you had nothing to do with it. God's idea, Jesus' willingness, he went to the cross, paid for your sins, and now he's saying, if you want it, it's here for you to take. That's the grace of God. But even in the grace of God concerning salvation, you still have a part in it. He says, for by grace are you saved. Yes, thank you, Lord. Your unmerited favor gives us the opportunity to be saved, but it still had to flow through our faith. Do you see that there? You still, just because Jesus died on the cross doesn't mean you get born again. You still had to believe it and confess it and accept it into your life. So you still had a part to play. Praise God. Well, you're going to see today a little bit, it's the same way with finances. It's the same way with healing. It's the same way with favor. It's the same way with peace. God's grace made it available for us to walk in. You couldn't do anything at all to make it available to you, but you have a part to play to make it become a reality.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. And see, what the grace doctrine has done is it puts all energy and effort onto God's shoulders. When God has said, I was on the cross, and I hung there, and I said, it is finished. Now it's your job to do with what I said to do with the Word of God. And how your life turns out has more to do with you, God is saying, than me, praise God. And see, what people have done is the grace doctrine has pushed out the very thing that is your part in life, which is faith. Faith is your part. And grace doctrine says, oh, because this is what people, I mean, I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, you don't even know what's going on out there. And how people are sitting back saying, oh, God's going to do something. God's going to do something. Meanwhile, people aren't doing the right thing with their money. They're not doing the right thing with the Holy Ghost. They're not doing the right thing with their words. They're not doing the right thing with their bodies. And they're expecting that God's just going to swoop in and fix everything for you. Not how he rolls. It's not how he works. And, why I'm so bold about this is because I don't like seeing Christians go without, and I can't stand religion. Say, you're not religious, not at all. I hate it. I hate religion. In fact, one of the things I told the Lord when he called me to pastor, said, Lord, I can't wait to tear down the walls of religion. Because religion has many of my family and friends still hoodwinked and brainwashed into this, God's going to do it, God's going to do it. And they're sitting around their whole life wondering why God hasn't done it. And then they start blaming God. Then they start questioning God. And then they start giving God a bad name. Why isn't he doing this? Why is he doing this for me? Why is he, what's God doing? Why, that preacher's lying. No. Do your part.
Yes.
He'll do his part, you do your part, and then the Bible will come true in your life.
God.
The Bible says in James chapter 2 and verse 17, it says, faith without, say it louder,
works
is dead. Once you get born again, works is everything. What comes into your life is based on what you do or don't do right with what God has said to do. It's everything. Praise God. But people don't like personal responsibility. We like this que sera, sera mentality. Whatever will be, will be. And if God chooses to shine his happy face upon my circumstances, it'll work. No. I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, it will not work for you if you do not do the right thing.
Amen.
He said, I'm giving you a choice.
That's right.
He says, choose the right way. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, let me tell you the balance to grace, because there is such a thing to grace. But what grace and where grace comes into play is 1 John 1 and verse 9. If you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you. When you stop doing it God's way and start going down a wrong path, the grace is, come on back. I won't hold it against you. I'll freely forgive you. I'll wipe it away as though you never did it wrong, and then I will be in your life and have the power to help you even though you messed it up. That's grace. But what grace isn't is a license to do it wrong. Grace isn't a license to disobey the word. Grace isn't a license to go the opposite way of God. And this is running rampant through the body of Christ. And people get that mentality. And then they sit back and don't do anything. No, faith is your part. Amen. You know, it's amazing. I hear this all the time. And this is a religious mentality. It's kind of like the idea of just going to church to check off your religious box. Right? A lot of people come to church just to feel better about themselves. Well, that doesn't do anything for you. It might make you feel a little better, but in the grand scheme of life, it's not doing anything for you. It's the coming to the right church, hearing the Word of God, and then walking out and applying what you heard from the Bible to every area of your life. If pastor preaches on your love walk, well, you search your life, you see, okay, where am I missing it? Apply the word to it. Pastor preaches about what to do with your money, okay, you look in your life and you apply it to it. Pastor preaches how to walk in healing, how to walk in prosperity, how to walk in emotional, mental peace and prosperity, you apply the word to it, amen? That's what we do, but I hear people say this religious mentality all the time. Makes me laugh when I hear it. It's not about works, pastor. It's not about works. Pastor, I'm a good person.
Come on.
I'm morally, what, God's going to move for me. I'm a good person. They. What are they doing? Bringing their merits. Oh, I'm so wonderful that God's gonna have to work for me. Now, there's a truth to bring what you've done to God and to bring it that way. But bringing your faith to God and your action and doing the word to God is what you should bring to him. Not just the fact that I'm a good person. The Bible doesn't really say anything about your blessing coming because you're morally just a good person. Because you come to church. I come to church. I'm faithful to come to church. I'm a good person. Well, go with me real quick. This will amaze you and really shed light on the situation. Go to 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 7. Oh, the devil's a liar.
Amen.
You better be proactive in your walk with God. Let me say that again. You better be proactive in your walk with God. To receive from him, it's just the truth. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 7 says this, and delivered, notice this, what did that word say? Just Lot. Now Lot, if you don't know, was Abraham's nephew. Lot, the Bible says here, was considered just. More modern translations, or that word in the Greek there, is the word righteous. The Bible forever records and eternally testifies about Lot that he was a righteous, just man. I'll tell you, that's a good testimony to have, isn't it? But here's the problem. You look into Lot's life, and his life was a life of hell on earth. His whole world got flipped upside down and changed. Remember? When Abraham and him had too much stuff that the land couldn't hold them, Abraham said, you pick a place to go, and I'll go somewhere else. And Lot, the Bible said, looked up and looked at the Sodom and Gomorrah, and it was well-watered everywhere like the land of the Garden of Eden, like the Garden of the Lord, the Bible said. And the Bible says Lot chose for himself Sodom and Gomorrah. It looked good, right? But he went there and found out it was a wicked place. His wife ended up dying. His daughters ended up going through hell the rest of their life. They ended up living in hiding. They ended up being captured. All his finances, everything down the tubes. But the Bible calls him righteous and just, and he was. But notice this. Him being a good guy didn't matter. Lot made the wrong choices in his life. It showed up in his life. Amen, ladies and gentlemen. You ought to be sitting there thinking, okay, it's time for me to get serious about my life. It's time for me to actually get serious about what the Word says and do what the Word says for once in my life. Amen. Yeah, because stop hanging your hat on, I'm a good person, I come to church. Big stinking whoop-de-doo. If you're not doing what the Word says and you're not doing what God has said, it doesn't matter. The act of walking in this place will not keep the devil off your life. It won't. Praise God. He delivered just Lot, righteous Lot, yet his life, go look at his life. There's things, because there's children here, I won't even mention what happened in his life. Horrible things to his daughters, to him. I mean, just terrible stuff. I'm telling you. But there he was, just, oh, I'm a good person, you know, I love God. You know, I listen to my Christian music, I cry, I have my Jesus sticker on my car. So what? That's what people are hanging their hats on all the time. Listen, I know many sweet, sweet people who are born again, who God loves them just as much as he loves me, but their life looks nothing like mine. It's always conflict. It's always chaos. It's always turmoil. It's always poverty. It's always sickness. It's always one thing after the other. And there's never any victory in their life. But they're Christians. They're good people. They're not doing the right. They're not making the right choices. Hallelujah. So this garbage about grace and let God do whatever, well, why wasn't that the case for Lot? I'm guessing his wife was a good woman too. Gone. Made the wrong choices. God told her what to do. She didn't do the right thing. Paid the price for it. Hallelujah. Just telling you the truth. Faith is our part, and grace has pushed faith out the door. Go with me to Luke 22:31. Hallelujah. There's a lot to chew on, I get it. But you want to know the truth about something. You know, do you know how blessed you are to have me? You say, my God, that guy's got a big head. Just let me finish. Yeah. Praise the Lord. You know, a good doctor, when he gets a test back or a report about somebody's body, regardless of what the news is, regardless of what pulling the people into the side room is going to do for their faces, what it's going to do for their tear ducts and open up the floodgates, regardless of what course it's going to set their family on, a good doctor will sit there, look them face to face and say, this is what's going on and this is what needs to be done. Amen. The bad doctor will come in and say, you know what, I'm really nervous. I don't want to upset them. I want to have keep a joyous spirit here, and then not tell them. That's not a good doctor. Well, a good shepherd will tell you exactly the way it is. You know that there are shepherds all over America that are just tickling people's ears with the word because they're afraid that if they say something wrong, the seats will be empty. I could give a flutie-tootie how many seats are empty, how big our church is, how many people we have. Don't really give a rip. I started a church in South Dayton. Yeah. I'm telling you. Yeah. I care less. I want people to come. I want people to fill up the seats, but I want hungry people in our seats. I want real deal Christians in our seats. I don't want to have to tickle your ears and tell you, oh, tithing, just do whatever you want. That's easier on the flesh. Oh, walk in love, you know, there's grace to cover it if you don't. I'm not going to tell you that garbage. I'm going to tell you the truth because I'm going to try to keep you blessed. Amen? But look at Luke 22:31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon. You know, Jeff's very encouraging to me. Just so you know, he's my head usher. I don't pay him to be nice to me. He's just really nice to me. He loves the word. He's hungry for God. Praise Amen. Luke 22:31. Simon, Simon. This is Peter. Notice this now. He says, behold, Satan has desired to have you. Well, that's not good. Because Satan, what comes with Satan is stealing, killing, and destroying. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. The thief cometh to do that. He said he's desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. Now let me ask you, do you think Jesus cared about Peter? Yeah. Of course he cared about Peter. Peter left everything to follow him and help him. Of course Jesus had a heart and an affinity for Peter. Praise God. And There's no doubt that he cared about him and wanted the best for him. He said, Satan has desired to have you. So don't you think that Jesus is going to tell Peter exactly what he needs to hear to keep the stealer, the killer, and the destroyer off his back? Absolutely. The next words out of Jesus' mouth are going to be something to help Peter. He wouldn't just say, you know what? Peter, devil desires to have you and sift you as wheat. Good luck. No, that wouldn't be a good shepherd. He goes on in verse 32. He says, but I have prayed for you. Now, he's saying, I prayed for you, Peter. We can find out a lot about what he prayed for. So Jesus said, I've prayed for you that God would do it, that God would be strong, that God would swoop in the midnight hour and take care of all your problems. You just sit back and do nothing, Peter. It's in God's hands. That's why people believe. Oh, that's not what he says? Well, let's see if I can read that right. But I have prayed for you, Peter, that you would have more faith. No, you didn't pray for that. You can't pray for more faith. He said, Peter, the devil's after you. The way you're going to keep the devil off your case is I've prayed that your faith, Peter, not your pastor's faith, not Jesus' faith, not your spouse's faith, not your neighbor's faith, that your faith would fail not.
That's right.
So you know what that tells me? That if his faith fails, the devil's got him. Oh, but I thought there was no works in Christianity. I thought that we just sit back and let God do it, not according to Jesus. Jesus said, Peter, whether or not the devil has you or not, up to you. Well, Ephesians 6 and verse 16 says, above all, taking the shield of faith. Wherewith? Now, I get this. The Bible says for you to take the shield of faith, just like he's telling Peter, saying, Peter, keep that shield. The shield of faith wherewith you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. So what happens if you leave the shield of faith behind? The fiery darts that are launched at you hit you. Penetrate you, get into your life. But he's saying the only way you're going to keep the fiery darts of it is if you get the shield of faith. Well, wait a second, though. What about grace? What about grace? You're going to tell me I don't tithe and I don't give and I don't speak right. There's grace. There's grace. No, not according to Jesus and not according to Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus in Ephesians 6. He says, you need to get the shield of faith. You need to do something. What I'm trying to drill home to you is how your life turns out is going to be basically up to your choices, your decisions, what you do from here on out in your life.
Amen.
That's good news, by the way. Because that means there's not some unseen power, some unseen force, some unseen devil that can mess with your life. You're not under any generational curse. You're not under any curse that you can't get out from under. The world's not against you. Everything's not bad for you. If you just would apply faith, it would put bandages and start healing up all the problems in your life. Your finances would get better. Your healing would get better. Your children would get better. Your job situation would get better. Your living situation would get better. Your mind would get better. If you would start applying faith to it. That's what I'm trying to say is get some responsibility and stop letting the devil lie to us that, oh, just whatever. No, not whatever. If you live with whatever, then whatever's going to come to you. That's just the truth.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Go with me. Talk about works. Go with me to Isaiah 1 and verse 19. That's what I'm trying to do today is hammer home the responsibility that you have as a Christian. Again, people say, but pastor, what about the grace? I'm telling you what the grace is. When you don't do, when you let down the shield of faith and the devil comes and you realize, man, you know, I haven't been really in faith, I haven't been speaking right, I haven't really been in the Word believing God. The grace comes in and say, Father, I'm sorry, let's, and he says, okay, let's go. That's grace. If you choose wrong, and the Bible says death comes your way, you can't sit back and just say, I hope the grace covers me. The grace was that he told you to choose right.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
And if you do choose wrong, he's saying, get back on path with me. That's grace too. But grace doesn't give you the opportunity to keep going wrong. Isaiah 1 and verse 19. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But I thought there wasn't works. But I thought the grace would cover me. But according to this, the Bible says, if you're willing and obedient, then you'll eat the good of the land. Most people do not qualify to eat the good of the land. They don't. They're not willing. They're not obedient. They don't obey the word. They don't do what the word says. They, The Bible says get a pastor, go to church. They're unfaithful there. The Bible says tithe and give offerings. They're unfaithful there. The Bible says walk in love. They're unfaithful there. They just do things their own way. Just a bunch of rogue, rebellious Christians running around. Well, that's fine. Do whatever you want. God will let you. But the good of the land, you'll fall short from it, from hitting it and obtaining it. You will. I don't want to see that. But I thought there wasn't any works. Well, why does Proverbs 28 and verse 20 say, a faithful man will abound in blessings? Most people don't even qualify to abound in blessings. They're not faithful. It's telling you. Didn't teach us in Sunday school, did they? Nope, they didn't teach us in the church I grew up in either. But the thing about the church I grew up in is everybody was sick. Everybody didn't have money. I mean, everybody was talking about how little they had all the time. Everybody was broke. It was problem after problem. When people would pray, it'd be about the most depressing thing you've ever heard in your life. No faith at all. But God's going to do it. God's going to do it. Oh, God must have forgot about you then. Because God's not doing it in these people's lives. Where's God to be found? He's sitting there waiting for someone to cooperate with him. I mean, on my iPad, we won't go there, don't panic. But, I mean, I have about 50 verses here. And I just had to stop because there were so many of showing the personal responsibility of a person and how their life turns out. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Go with me to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24. Now, I get it. Nothing special going on up here, right? Just a little short dude with gray hair, spiky, got some spiky hair. Just hold on a second. My two ushers, maybe I do pay them. They're so kind. But anyways, I know, I get it, you know, and who am I? I mean, I'm only 37 years old, and, you know, you might be twice my age, and you've been around the block more than me, and you have a lot more wisdom and experience. So I know that, you know, what I say might fall on deaf ears, but my Bible for this next verse is colored in red, which means that the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Savior of the world said this. I'm just repeating what he says. So get your eyes off the natural man. Yeah. Get your eyes off. He's young. How can he tell me what to do? Listen. The Bible, Paul told Timothy, said, let no man despise your youth. There are some people that have come into Christianity and they have far surpassed people that have been in it for years and years. Why? They just chose to do the right thing. A natural age don't matter. I understand there's life experience that comes with natural age, but when it comes to the word, age does not matter. It doesn't. But I know, I get it. Who am I? But this is Jesus now. He said, therefore, this is Christ saying this, whosoever hears these sayings of mine, what's that, the word? And, see the and there? Does them. What does that mean? Whatever is in here that you hear that is not happening in your life, Jesus said, if you hear it and then do it, he said, I will liken it unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock, verse 25. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house. See, doing right does not get you exempt from the tests and the trials. But doing right gets you exempt from the big L in the wins and loss column. You'll have an L. But when you do right, you'll have a victory. Praise God. You won't be exempt from the tests and trials. They'll still come your way, but you won't have the same result. He said, the rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew, talking about the tests and trials, beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. The rock of what? The word. The person that hears the word stands the test of time. The person that hears the word, when financial tests and trials come their way, they don't crumble. They don't get taken out by the enemy. Why? They're founded on the rock. But, now look at this, verse 26. And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does them not, hearing the word and balking at it. That forgiveness business, that guy doesn't know what this person did to me and he's telling me that I need to forgive it. No, I didn't tell you, Jesus did. Jesus told you if you have anything against anybody, forgive.
That's right.
Stop getting mad at me. Stop getting an attitude with me. Stop shooting daggers at me with your eyes. Jesus said in Mark 11:25, if you have anything against anybody, anything, that means no matter how bad they wronged you, how evil they were to you, Jesus said, if you have anything against anybody, let them go, let it go. Well, we see the importance of that in those verses, that your faith won't work. So he's not telling you that to ruin your life. He's telling you that because he wants to keep you safe. Man, oh man, oh man. Pastor saying all that. Oh yeah, you want me to tithe? You seed my money? Well, I didn't tell you to, but the word did. And everyone that hears these sayings of mine doesn't do them. He said, I will liken them unto a foolish man. You know what a synonym for foolishness is? Stupidity. Jesus said, don't be stupid. Yeah. How are you? What's the definition of a stupid person? Man, I never claimed to be refined and well-spoken anyway, so get over yourselves out there. I'm not the most eloquent of speakers. I'm just preaching it the way Jesus said it. He said the definition of a stupid person is somebody that would hear what the master of the universe has to say, who knows the best way to go, who knows how to get you rich, who knows how to get you healed, who knows how to get your kids okay, who knows how to get your marriage blessed, who knows everything that's best for your life. The definition of stupidity is somebody that won't listen to me. That's what he said. He said, how dumb can you be? I know what to do for your life, and I've told you. Do it. Praise God. He said, you're stupid to hear it and not do it. That's what the master said. Hallelujah. He said, the rain descended. Verse 27, he said, I liken the foolish man built his house upon a sand. The rain descended. And the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Just go ahead and keep doing it your way. There's always a reaping to what you're sowing. You want to continue to sow and hear the word of God? In fact, the Bible says it's better for the person that never heard it at all than the person that hears it and walks away from it. There's a crumbling coming for that person. A great fall coming for that person. What are we trying to do? Get you to avoid that in your life. Pulling back off your love walk, pulling back off tithing, pulling back off giving, pulling back off being faithful to hear your appointments with God. You know, I'm going to say it because the Holy Ghost has prompted me to say it. Those Wednesday services are not optional for your life. You might not be able to come because of a current work situation, and I get that. But it's God delivering mail for you. Why is it optional to go half the year of getting your mail from God and the other half saying, that's not important, that's not important. But yet God's telling you the very thing that you need. You've been in services before where I've said something and you'll say, my God, that's exactly what I need. It's happening on Wednesday nights. Now, I get it. People work. People have a life. But we have live stream. No excuse.
That's right.
And we have faith. Yes. Oh, my job. Oh, you, pastor, don't get mad at me. Oh, pastor, you don't understand. You're telling me blah, 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 blah. Listen, I got faithful to hear the word of God way before I was ever so-called required to be here. And it benefited my life. Amen?
Amen.
Use faith. If you can't get here, praise God. Father, I would really like to be at Wednesday service. You're delivering the mail there. Father, I'm asking you to make something happen. I'm believing you to make something happen in my job. Oh, you say, oh, well, you little cocky thing. You don't know my job. Oh, he parted the Red Sea. Shut it. Yeah, yeah. He saved men in the lion's den when there was a man in the lion's den that were hungry lions, and they became like little kittens. He spared Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when Nebuchadnezzar turned the furnace up 7 times hotter. He can do it, praise God. Don't get mad at me because your faith in him is small. It's kind of like the guy that gave Kenneth Hagin a problem. A minister ought to not drive a Cadillac. And Brother Hagin said, brother, don't get upset with me because I have Cadillac faith and you have Chevrolet faith. Don't get upset at me because I believe that God is powerful enough to work something in your job so you can hear his word.
Come on.
Yeah. I just want you to receive from God. There's things I teach on Wednesdays, and I'll be preaching them, and I'll know certain people are going through it, and the Holy Ghost had me say, I said, oh, where were they? Oh, the mail's sitting in their mailbox.
Yeah.
The mail's sitting in their mailbox, and they decided not to get it.
Yeah. Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
I'm just following the Spirit today. Saying what needs to be said. Now, here's what you need to understand, is the person that's going to grow in God is going to be the correctable one. The person that will hear exactly what the Bible is saying and get mad about it, what's your problem? You're basically saying, I'm perfect. I'll never need to hear anything. Why? Because if you get mad at correction, you're saying, I know it all. Let me tell you something, you don't. And neither do I. I don't even claim to even think I know half of what I need to know. Hallelujah. But the person that is in the right place will say, you know what? I see that in the Word. That's just not him up there screaming his brains off at me. That's the Bible. And he's just telling me what's right. I'm going to do what the Word says. Go to Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. Hallelujah. It's trying to help you, keep you safe. Well, if you don't do what's right with your faith, the devil can mess your life up. If you don't do what's right with the Word, the Bible says a crumbling's coming. But look at this now. These are the three main things I wanted to look at. I'm going to get back to this, but I'm going to say this because this just came right up from my heart. Brother Hagin would say this. He'd say, you know, in all the years, he said, I could go into a church and I could tell you exactly how the children of that church are going to turn out. And he said, in all the years, it never was wrong. He said, they asked, how do you know about that? He said, by what the parents do. By how the parents are. I know exactly how the kids are going to turn out. See, Proverbs 22 and verse 6 says, train up a child in the way they should go, and when they're older, to not depart. You know what the way they should go is? That the house of God's a priority. Amen. Not recreation, not the world, not sports, not fun, not all this. The Word of God. And Brother Hagin would say, I can tell you exactly how that person's going to turn out. And he said, all the years, it happened. Parents, let me just say something. It's up to you how our kids turn out. It's not a community or a village or a church or a pastor to raise a child. It's the mom and the dad or whoever's in charge in that situation. Oh, it got quieter in here. That holy hush has come through the door because we talk about your kids, but it's the truth. Lot's children had a rough go. Abraham's children did not. Why? Choices of the parents. Absolutely. You can't live like the devil and instill and sow. What are you letting your kids listen to? What are you letting your kids watch? Well, who are you letting your kids hang out with? Do you even know what they're doing? Do you even check their phones? Do you even, I trust my child. Then you're a fool.
That's right.
The Bible says you're foolish because they have youthful lusts. Yeah. I remember a guy that was helping me at my house, didn't go to any of the churches. He's a Christian, though. His daughter was 15 years old, and it was his stepdaughter, and so he was married to her mom, and she didn't like the rules at the house. Why? Wouldn't let her watch anything she wanted. Wouldn't let her do anything she wanted. Wouldn't let her hang out with whoever she wanted. Wouldn't let her miss church. What's that? It's called being a good parent. It's called training.
That's right. Amen.
We train our children, not buddy up to them and try to be friends with them.
Right.
Come on.
And
so this person said, you know, she wants to go live with her dad. Well, I got to digging, and the reason she wanted to go live with her dad is because dad let her do anything he wanted. Dad let her watch whatever she wanted, hang out with whoever she wanted, talk however she wanted, go wherever she wanted, do anything she wanted with that cell phone. I mean, anything she wanted. Well, of course she wanted to go. Youthful lust. It is rare for a child to be absolutely just perfect and never have any wrong desires in their flesh. I'd almost say it's downright impossible. Yeah, praise the Lord. And so anyways, he said that to me, and he said, and you know what? She's 15. We're just going to let her make her own choices and do what she wants. I thought, my God, here comes destruction for her. She's not in a place where she's supposed to be making the choice. I don't care if she's 15 years old. She's a child, and you're her dad and the mom. Do the right thing by her. Well, she might get mad. Your point? I'm just saying. Parents, it's important that you're instilling faith, instilling the Word into your kids, that you're making the house of God a priority. I'll tell you what, if it's not made a priority when they're young, it won't be when they're old. You know, when you hook them is when they're young. It's just the truth. Amen. Don't look at me with those nasty eyes out there. Be everybody smile and be sweet and be happy that, you know, you come up here and say this stuff. You come up here and say this stuff to people. I'm just trying to keep people out of the ditch of destruction. Yeah. Because I'll tell you what, it sure didn't work your way. Try it your way. Keep trying it your way. It won't work. It won't work. I'm amazed at some of the things parents let their kids get away with. I'm like, what in the world is going on here? Like, is that what you want to instill in them? Is that what you're sowing in them? Because there's a sowing that you're sowing into them of not the word, of not spiritual things. Then there's going to be a reaping of carnality as well. Whatever you sow into them is what they're going to reap. It's just the truth. Romans 8:14. Now get this, this is important. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. God, in Proverbs 3 and verse 5, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He'll direct your paths. Well, the paths that He directs you on are what? Besides still waters. Righteousness paths, green pastures, blessing, abundant life. That's the path God wants to lead you on. But He says to trust in Him with all your heart, not your head. Acknowledge Him in everything you do. Actually come to Him and find out what His take is on it. And He said, I'll direct your paths, which are only into good things. Well, how is He leading people? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You know why? Now, again, I don't make these blanket statements for effect and just to look bold. I'm just telling you the truth. The majority of people will live far below God's intended blessing and plan for their life because they will never learn to follow the Holy Ghost. They will constantly be moved by emotion. They will constantly be moved by thoughts. They will constantly be moved by feelings. They will constantly be moved by natural advice, by their checkbook. Praise God, it's true. I wouldn't be in the house that I was in today if I went by the checkbook and by what my mind said. But the Spirit of God navigated me and helped me and led me into that place. When the money wasn't there and it didn't look like it could happen, the Spirit of God said, I have a way. Amen. And most people are always going to live out of that mental realm, out of that feeling realm. When they make decisions, let's face it, and I'm telling you, I've been there. And so when I say this, I know you've all been there too. Most of the decisions you make, jobs, vehicles, homes, people you're going to be with, don't even ever include, what you think, God? It's, man, they're pretty. Man, they look good. You do realize that the devil can wrap up a stick of dynamite in the most prettiest box with the prettiest bow. And, oh, this looks and feels good. I want this right in your face. It's the truth. Well, you know, the job paid me more money. Oh, so that's how God leads now, is by money. That's not how He leads. He leads by the Spirit of God, which can lead you into more money following Him. Well, you know, that deal, it seemed good. I mean, that's what they were saying. The people were saying that. I've had people make lots of money who went against what all the experts were saying, but the true expert said, yeah, do that. Yeah. While the experts were saying, no, don't touch that, stay away from that. And people said, oh, but the Holy Spirit says yes, amen? Amen. Most people will never, ever, ever, and I've seen it with people. I've seen people get a hold of this and absolutely navigate through their life and call the shots of what's going to happen. When things looked a certain way, I've had people following the Holy Ghost, and they'll tell me, this is exactly what's going to happen, when the natural didn't look like it at all. But they found out they have an all-knowing future teller on the inside of them. Amen. But let's be honest. Most of the times we make decisions based on our money. We make decisions based on what our mind says, based on what the pro and cons list says. That's not how God leads people. So how God leads people. So, you could say it this way, the works mentality, that if you don't learn to follow the Holy Ghost, you won't walk into the paths that God has for you.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. People are looking at me like a cow at a new gate. I'm telling you. You're looking at me confused, like they don't know what the world I'm talking about. I'm telling you. You better learn to follow the Holy Ghost. That's the only place God's leading. He's not leading you through goosebumps. He's not leading you through tears. He's not leading you through cold chills.
Right.
He's not leading you through, a worship song that came on that was, I mean, I'll tell you what, some of the crazy things people come up with. Well, you know, I was going through this situation and all of a sudden a song came on. Oh, yeah? Oh, okay. Well, did God tell you that's the way to go, or did the song tell you that's the way to go? Am I saying God can't use things? No. But I don't put my faith in dreams and songs and what opinions of man is. I put my hopes in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. People end up in a mess. People end up in a mess because they don't follow. I mean, I could tell you story after story of messes that I'm in the process of cleaning up because at one point somebody decided just to do things their own way. I'm telling you the truth. I'm not just saying this to be for dramatic. I'm telling you, the way you choose sets the course of your life. What's the Holy Spirit saying about that job? What's the Holy Spirit saying about that place to move? What's the Holy Spirit saying about that car? What's the Holy Spirit saying about that person? But a lot of times we don't want to consult with God because we're afraid to hear the answer we don't want to hear. And the devil has you fooled that way. He has you fooled that way. They that follow the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. Amen? Amen. Praise His name forevermore. Amen. It's important, ladies and gentlemen, that you give time to the spirit man and not the carnal man. The carnal man's always getting fed. We're always busy working. That's carnality. We're always busy doing recreation. That's carnality. We're feeding ourselves naturally. That's carnal. It's not wrong, carnal, but it's carnal. And we give our spirits, the one that God leads and directs us to, we give it no time at all. Maybe we show up to church once a week. Maybe. Maybe we are faithful to even show up twice a week. But the feeding that our spirits getting twice a week, imagine if your body only got fed twice a week. You'd get weak. You'd get hurt. Praise God. A lot of things in people's lives. Now, here's a question. Now, yes, we do face tests and trials, but is God leading us into pitfalls? Is God leading us into struggle? Is God leading us into less? No. Now, it might look that way at first, and this is why you need to learn to follow the Holy Ghost, because God could lead you into something that naturally seems terrible, and then when you get into it, all hell breaks loose in your life, and you'd be tempted to pull back and say, that must not be God, but I want to remind you that God sent Paul over to Macedonia through a vision. When he got there, he got his butt kicked, thrown in prison, but he ended up having victory over that. If there's no victory in your life, and it's struggle after struggle, and things aren't changing, it's time to check up on the spirit man and say, Lord, what's going on here? Where am I missing it, Father? And be so humble and willing to fall down at the feet of the Father and say, Lord, whatever you say to me, I don't care if I have to go back and rearrange 20 things in my life. Whatever you say to me, get me out of this. What am I doing wrong? Most people won't do it. Most people won't do it. I'm not speaking that over this church. I'm just saying in general, most people don't do it. They go by the natural. They go by what they think. They go by what's in their mind and what they think is right. You can do that, but you'll struggle. Right. Amen, you'll struggle. I'll just mention this as I'm closing my Bible. I didn't even talk to you about your money. And you're all thinking, thank you for not talking about my money. But the Bible says this, whatsoever a man sows, that's what he reaps. And in fact, he went even a step further and said, this I say, he that sows sparingly is going to reap sparingly. Stop blaming your lack of harvest on your God. Start blaming it on your seeds that you're sowing or your lack thereof. Amen? Amen. And that I could go on and on and on about that. Bible says that a man's belly will be satisfied by the fruit of his lips. With the increase of his mouth will he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. How you talk matters. Amen. He said, whatsoever you say you'll have. So your having is a direct result of your doing and saying, ladies and gentlemen, not him. Stop with this stinking victim mentality. Either God gave you the goods to be victorious or he forgot about you. Ooh, that was quiet. Think about this. Oh, woe is me. It never works out for me. Everything's always bad for me. It never turns out. The world's against me. Stop with that junk. Faith is the thing that can obliterate that right between the eyes. My God. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, here's what I said in the beginning about the weeding out the garden. A message like this is going to tell you what kind of a church we are. We're a church that believes the Bible And if you do the word, the Bible says you'll be blessed. If you don't do the word, you can't come a crying. Got to do the word. There's grace when you don't do the word. There's forgiveness. But what I'm saying is most people that end up falling away from a church like this is because they get offended at the word. They get offended at their circumstances, and they don't want to sit in the seats and feel. Listen, it's like this. Let me tell you two different people. The one doing the word and the offended one. The one doing the word, when they hear about tithing and giving, they love it. It encourages them. It builds them up. The one that's not doing it, they feel like they're getting beat up by their pastor. It's true. The one that's walking in love and doing right and living it, they love hearing about it. They love hearing about do this and do the word. Yes, that encourages me. Yes, show me what to do. The offended person, they're sick of it. They think in their seats, pastor's always beating me up. Pastor's like, no, you're only getting beat up because your attitude's wrong.
That's right. That's right.
Because the same person that's doing the word is excited about the word.
Yeah.
I'm going to be, I was in a service one time with Pastor Nancy. Dr. Dufresne the night before had called out extreme financial problems. I went up, me and one other person, and it was one of the worst things I've ever went through. And it wasn't even the $2,000 short when I started the church circumstance. And I went up there, he laid hands on me. Well, I told you in the offering, what is your prosperity tied to? How you think?
Yeah.
The next morning, she came in the morning service and she preached. And let's say I was sitting here. I'm not kidding you. For 90-some percent of the message, she stood right here and talked about thinking right financially and looked at me most of the time.
Yeah.
She preached a whole sermon with hundreds of people to me, and everybody knew it was for me. And you know what I sat there the whole time thinking? Bring it on.
Yeah.
Bring it on. I'm hearing my help. Most people would have said, oh my God, this is embarrassing. Everybody knows it's me. How dare you do that to me? Who do you think you are? Not me.
No,
no, no. Why? Because I love to hear what I'm doing wrong, because what I'm doing wrong is how and why I'm struggling. And when I hear what to do right, I'm like, woohoo, I can change.
Amen.
Because I get stupid and dumb sometimes and do things my own way. Thank God for help. And she stood right there, and you know how bold she is.
Yeah.
Oh, she let me have it.
Yeah, praise God.
It hurts so good. Oh, it hurts so good. Praise God. So we'll see. People want to sit here. Some people say, man, pastor beats me up every week. And some people say, my God, he helps me. It's crazy how I can pastor the same exact people the same way. Some think I'm a hero. Some think I'm a zero. Some think I'm God. Some think I am the devil. And that is the truth. It's all in how you perceive the word of God. Because I pastor and preach the same way to every single person. Some people love it. Some people hate it. Well, it's not my fault what ground you are. You're either good ground or you're not. I'm not the one that made the ground. You're the ground. Whatever ground you want to be in. So anyways, let's pray. Father, we love you this morning. Thank you for our help. Oh, it was an interesting service, that's for sure. We thank you for our help, for the utterance, for the inspiration, for the revelation that was imparted unto us. Lord, we're grateful and thankful for your mercy. And Lord, we are a proponent of grace. We're thankful for grace. But grace isn't a license for us to put faith on the shelf. Grace isn't a license for us to put holiness on the shelf. Grace isn't a license for us to put disobedience on the shelf. But we're thankful when we do miss it, Father. We're not perfect. I'm not perfect. You know I'm not perfect. Father, and I know everybody in this room is not perfect, and we're going to need that grace. So thank you for the grace. Thank you for the mercy and the forgiveness for when we do fail. But Father, thank you for the word that instructs us and tells us how we can fail a whole lot less, how we can be a whole lot more blessed. We thank you, Father. We glorify you. I don't want to be the only one thanking him right now. Let's worship him together. Thank him for your help. We bless you, Father. We glorify you. Thank you, Lord. Now, if I could ask a favor, not to be bossy, but if you could close your eyes and bow your heads. Please, nobody looking around. And I do that because out of respect for other people. Ask yourself this question this morning. If today were my last day on planet Earth, where would I go? When I ask myself that question, the immediate answer is heaven. You say, how can you be so sure? Because the Bible says, if I believe in Jesus and ask him into my heart, then heaven is mine. Now, if you've already received Jesus, you don't have to receive him again. You say, well, I had a bad week and did wrong things. He didn't leave you. He didn't take your salvation away. In fact, if you missed it and screwed up this week, big deal. That's what forgiveness is for. But you don't have to get resaved. But if you're here today and your heads are bowed, eyes are closed, and you've never received Jesus, you can say, Pastor, I don't know if I'd go to heaven, but I sure want to. with heads bowed and eyes closed. I won't embarrass you. But if you want to receive Christ as your Savior for the very first time in your life, would you lift your hand high in the sky? Anybody that's never done that before in here, never received Jesus as their Lord and Savior? He's not the SWAT team. He doesn't barge his way in and force his way into your life. He knocks, but you have to open the door. So before I close, anybody at all wants to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior? Father, I don't see any hands in this building, but if by chance there is somebody here that was just shy, or somebody listening right now, or in the future via the archives, Father, I pray that they would not pass from this life till they made Jesus their Lord and Savior. All you have to do if you're listening to me is say, Lord, I believe in you. I believe you died. I believe you rose again. Come into my heart. If you'll pray that and believe it, the Bible says salvation will be yours. And the next step for you is to get planted in a Bible-teaching church where they're teaching the Word. Father, we bless you and glorify you this morning. Father, we take our marching orders today. We take our correction. You're not beating us up for doing it wrong, but you are pointing out the ways to go right. So, Father, we thank you for that correction. We receive that in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't forget, no Wednesday service this week. We'll see you next Sunday at 10, and there are goodies in the old sanctuary. You're dismissed.